This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're joined now by Doug Whaley, who was a former Bills general manager, and we've had him on a couple times. Doug, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back, buddy. How are you?
Oh, it's a great day. I mean, I got the Masters on, first day of the Masters, nice. And then I'm watching my beloved AAA Pirates against the Cubs in the opening day here in Pittsburgh.
Well, let me give you, Doug, let me give you a name, okay? One of my best friends, matter of fact, he was in my wedding. His nephew is literally AAA with the Pirates and hoping to make it to the big team. His last name is Spitzbarth. He's a pitcher. He's going to get the call soon. Shea Spitzbarth. Look out for the name.
Nice.
I will definitely look out for the name. I might have to buy a jersey.
Oh, nice.
Turns out
nice.
To be anything.
Just make sure he sticks around for a little while before you buy it.
Hopefully by the get to the big leagues, they're winning more than 60 games.
Exactly. Hey, listen, Doug. Listen, all right, forget about baseball. I got to get something off, but this is bothering me. And it just hit me today. Like, I've gone along for the ride, and I've, you know, engaged, and I've had conversations. I can no longer stand for the conversations that are putting Mac Jones ahead of Justin Fields on the draft board. I think it is lunacy. It very well might be a smokescreen, but for those who are subscribing to Mac Jones is the better pro prospect, I think they're out of their minds, and I think it's so patently offensive to a guy who just deserves to be shown, I think, a little more respect than Justin Fields. What do you think?
I think it's, as they say, low-hanging fruit, because if you look at Mac Jones, he's probably more ready to step in and contribute right away, but Justin Fields has such a higher ceiling, but a lower floor. So that's where I think everybody's saying it's a safer pick, it's an easier pick, it can translate from – hey, he's coming out of Alabama. He's ready, a plug-and-play guy, where Justin Fields is going to need some time. But I'm like you. If I'm swinging for the fences. And Justin Fields, I mean, Fields is just one of those guys that I think will, once he gets in there and learns that craft and learns, especially in that offense, mm-hmm. I think he can take that to a level that Mac Jones wouldn't even be able to sniff.
There Doug, we go.
Doug,
Thank
do you.
You
think he makes sense in San Francisco? Because I said no. And, you know, when I was chatting with you earlier, there's a couple of things I want to bring up with you. One is, like, the exits of these quarterbacks that could happen in the next year or so. Jimmy Garoppolo and Russell Wilson in particular, they're not going anywhere in 2021, but they could be on the move in 2022. But if you're the 49ers and you draft Mac Jones, you're kind of stuck with two quarterbacks. You're paying a good amount of money and it's a drag on your roster, right? That doesn't make sense to me. Drafting a project, say like Trey Lance or even Justin Fields, seems more interesting with Jimmy Garoppolo still having to be there, doesn't it?
I agree with you. If you're drafting someone when you have a Garoppolo there, you don't want a plug-and-play guy because you start that clock. And if you can start a clock on a guy that needs some time to develop so you don't throw him in the fire and then he gets battered and loses confidence, that's especially a good way to go. And we see it now with what happened with Mahomes. Mahomes needed some time. And he had an excellent teacher, not only in Andy Reid, but Alex Smith in front of him. So if you got Garoppolo and you got Kyle Shanahan and you bring a Lance in there and he needs at least a year or maybe more. And then also when you look at it, it's not like back in the day before they had that rookie salary cap. That first round pick, those guys, you can get them. The cap hit is not that much. So if you got Garoppolo in at 25 mil, and then this first round pick is going to be around a $3 or $4 million hit, mm-hmm. you're still under the $30 million range that starting quarterbacks are for now. So I think it's a good play as long, like you said, as long as you got a guy that needs time to develop. If you got a plug and play guy in, let's get that clock started now and let's utilize having that low cap hit so you can start signing a bunch of people around him. So when he starts eating up that cap, you have your roster pretty much set.
Doug, let me hold on real quick. Let me draw on your GM experience here, because BT and I were talking about this and how much this has to suck for Jimmy Garoppolo. Right. They're clearly drafting a quarterback. He's been their man. They paid him $100 million. We know his injury history and everything else. But like, how do you have that conversation with Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, hey, yeah, I know we paid you a couple years ago and you took us to a Super Bowl 2 seasons ago, but we're moving on from you. Can you like mentor this kid? Like, how do you have that conversation?
Well, you sit down and you have a conversation. First of all, you get everybody on board. You've got to sit down with the owner, the GM, the head coach, and even the president all have to develop a plan and say which way we're going to go. Because even the president, it may affect some business dealings and situations that concern that organization. And you say, here's our plan. Then you sit down with the quarterback and his team and say, hey, listen, we know we gave you a bunch of money and committed to you, but here's our plan for the future. Now, you can take it one or two ways. You can sulk and not be a competitor and accept the challenge, because the one thing everybody knows is competition should raise someone's level of play up. And if it does, you may not be the quarterback for us for the future, but someone else will be able to, you'll be able to play and be the quarterback for someone else in the future. And if you look at, that's what everybody was worried about at Aaron Rodgers last year when they drafted that quarterback. Aaron Rodgers just said, okay, you think I'm done? I'm going to show you. So it can help in both ways. It could help the team. Garoppolo could have a bang-up year, take him to the NFC Championship or further, and increase his market value. Then the team has a tradable asset. Yeah. So it could be a positive, like I said, for both. So I don't think it's always a bad thing.
So we're talking to Doug Whaley, who's the former GM of the Buffalo Bills, and Doug's been with us now a bunch of times here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Doug, I want an incredibly detailed, specific answer. I'm going to grant you full autonomy. You're the general manager of the. We know what the Jets just did, but if it wasn't Joe Douglas, if it was Doug Whaley as the GM, we all know the options. Sit at 2, take a quarterback. If that's the case, I want to know who you would take. Would you have dialed it back? Would you have held on to trade it out? Would you have held on to Sam Darnold? You know the cards the Jets held before the other day and still hold now. What would you have done specifically?
I would have held on to Sam Darnold, moved back, get a bunch of assets not only in this year's draft but next year's draft, put a team around Sam Darnold, and if Sam Darnold does not work out, you have draft capital next year to be able to move up and get another quarterback next year, and then you have assets and people in place to surround that quarterback. Because if you look at Sam, obviously there's some culpability on his side, but you've got to look at what was around him and mm-hmm. what system was he in. So it's not all just Sam. So in my opinion, I would have said, our cupboard's bare. Let's stock the cupboard, see what we have in this guy. And if he's no good, guess what? We're going to be in the top 10 pick anyway. And if he's mid-level guy, maybe we're 10-7, whatever, we still have that ammunition if there's quarterbacks next year to go up and get them. So I think it gives you more options. This way, it basically what they're doing is that's what they're going. They're all in on Wilson, and it starts the clock on Joe Douglas. It starts the clock on the head coach. But if you do it the other way, it doesn't. It gives you options in your second move.
Yeah. Okay, Doug, I'm largely with you, and I am a devout Wilson fan. I think Zach Wilson could be terrific. I like him better than everybody. I might even like him better than Lawrence, but people think I'm nuts. I'm a huge Wilson fan, but your point about stocking the cupboards for a franchise bereft of talent has always made sense to me, so I was always open to that. But what if the Jets did look ahead to next year's draft, which is, at least on paper, thought to be very weak at the quarterback spot, and didn't like a potential top 10 option if they would have adhered to your plan? Would that have changed what you would have done? Like, if you didn't see any quarterbacks next year, would you still have done that, what you just said you would have done?
Right. Well, that's right. I would have, going into this, all right, what's next year's draft looking at, and what's the year after that draft looking at? And then another thing I would have done is said, okay, if Sam Darnold and Wilson were coming out this year together, who would we have liked or who would we have rated before then? So that's another thing you got to think about. Just because Sam has not performed as well as he was expected to, when he was coming out, I think he would have been a higher prospect than Wilson coming out, because Wilson's a one-year wonder. I mean, think about it. And then if you look at like a Coastal Carolina game and the competition he played compared to what Sam was playing. So those are some things that you really have to look at and stack in your brain before you put that final decision out there or make that final decision.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, let me take a turn that most people aren't talking about right now. We all know that the Jacksonville Jaguars are taking Trevor Lawrence at number one. And, you know, that's who Urban Meyer wants. He's basically already said, yeah, we're going with Lawrence. So we know what that is. But their draft strategy has to be, like, focused on, I guess, building some confidence in Urban Meyer pretty early. Because the last thing if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan or owner, is, yeah, this isn't going to really work out. He's another one of these failed college coaches. Like, what's the strategy that the Jacksonville Jaguars have to take post-drafting Trevor Lawrence?
Well, you got to look at Urban Meyer. In my opinion, he's a proven winner everywhere he's been, from Bowling Green to Utah to Florida to Ohio State, and he's done it quickly. Then you look at the hardest position to get is to have success is a quarterback. So they're set up there. So they're doing some methodical steps to put them in position to be successful. My thinking would be, hey, listen, we have to win our division. And that's right now it's Tennessee and Indy that are tops of the division. So you got to build that team from the inside out. You got to look at OL and D line just to stop D line. You got to stop Tennessee's running game, and you got to protect Trevor Lawrence against Indy's D line and their defense. And then lastly, you got to give him some weapons to help him mature as a quarterback and not put it all on his back. So that's how I would think about their draft strategy should be. But in my opinion, Urban Meyer has a better chance to be a Jimmy Johnson in the pros than a Nick Saban.
Very good stuff. And you can feel the war rooms tightening up a bit. It is around the corner, and there are some huge names and huge storylines, and Doug Whaley breaking down some of them. Thank you very much, Doug. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate you, Doug.
It's always a pleasure. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.